Below me, government-issued low-pile carpet stretched to pale, matte walls. Above me, tube lights buzzed. In front of me, twin ceiling-mounted TVs blared CNN. All around me, 40 or so fellow Lee County citizens and I had established little base camp territories in row after vinyl-seated row of metal-legged chairs. Glancing at the screens or looking at watches or picking at their pants, they all wondered the same thing I did. When will this be over? We were all potential jurors summoned midweek to the Lee County Justice Center to await our assignments. And wait, and wait. We'd already been shown the video in which the raven-haired narrator, all cheekbones and earnest, unblinking eye-to-camera contact, assured us it was our patriotic duty to serve, enlightened us about the difference between criminal and civil cases, and admonished us to pay attention, not gossip, and eschew extreme dress. But that was hours ago, and still we sat, serving our time in a place that was as close to limbo on earth as I can imagine. Certain spaces work hard to be nowhere. Airport seating, hospital waiting rooms, divisions of motor vehicles, all quadratically monotonous interior scapes of ceiling tiles, linoleum, sealed windows, and chair seats. This room was a fine specimen. All traces of Southwest Florida had been scrubbed. The room was clean, the air was dry, the colors were flat, the art was generic. Kids, water, forests. For me, it was nightmarish. With its decreasing supply of natives and increasing demand for big box chains, I often fret that this region will lose its flavor, its singularity, its unique quirkiness, and melt into the homogeneous whole this nation seems intent on becoming. This place was proof, and with each passing hour, my despair increased. So I tried to distract myself. I brushed my hair. I sorted and purged my purse. I watched the clock. I buffed my shoes against the floor. I took my pulse. At last, the woman who'd been guarding us stepped to the front of the room and told us the cases had all been settled or postponed. We were free to go. I expected whoops and whistles, but everyone simply filed quietly out. I descended the escalator two steps at a time and burst into the torrid wall of Southwest Florida afternoon air. I retrieved my car, rolled both windows down, and took big gulps of humidity. As I waited to hand my juror's pass to the lot attendant, I grinned at the old corrugated barn that used to be Hauser and Wrinkle's garage as if it were a long-lost friend. Up the block, in the empty lot where Dr. Winkler's house once stood, I heard squawks and screams rising from my favorite urban cypress tree, the one Margaret Garner, Dr. Winkler's great-granddaughter, remembers her mother helped plant when she was a girl in around 1910. All that's left to show a house once stood here is the big old cypress and a handful of venerable dooryard plants, gnarly mangoes and sprawling crepe myrtles. Suddenly, there was a yellow and green explosion from the lacy cypress canopy as three squabbling monk parakeets spiraled up out of it. They circled the empty lot in formation, then lit on the shell marl swath that curves from one corner to another, perhaps the trace of a long-ago drive. Milky rainwater pooled in the middle of it, and it was there the birds landed, then waded in three abreast. One took a tentative poke at the water with its bill, then all three cut loose, fluffing, splashing, flinging droplets as they bathed. Over them, clouds swelled. Behind them, mangoes ripened. All around them, the air seethed with insect trills. I was somewhere once again. I was home.